You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, Rory Delaghi and James Millman in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well, with a decent card on the turf at Pontefract, including a listed race in the shape of the Flying Filly Stakes. We've got good jumping at Southwell and two meetings over in Ireland as well. We're on the all-weather poly track in Dundalk and over the obstacles at Tramore. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio, he's Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. We'll start with a quick look ahead to York as well. The Ebor Festival starts next week. You'll be there, Mick, and yes, you must be quite looking forward to it now.
Yes, we had quite a lot of rain in the area yesterday, but apparently it was much needed because they hadn't watered, obviously. So that rain will have just, you know, gone in and done a lot of good to the roots, because it had been, we'd had a very dry spell,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And the forecast over the next few days up to the start of the meeting is pretty good. The two best days of the week, I think. Well, certainly Friday is Thursday and Friday, I think, are going to be the two best days weather wise. But the forecast for Wednesday is pleasantly warm, bit of cloud about, but no rain, which would mean that Golden Horn and Glen Eagles are both going to turn up for their big match on Wednesday, I should say.
Yeah, hopefully so, because the Judgment International has officially been rated as the best race in the world now, and Golden Horn against Glen Eagles, the Derby winner against the Guineas winner, would be up there with some of the best matches we've ever seen, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. And I noticed they've paid a $75,000 supplement to put Dick Doughty Wiley in the Oppenheimers, so that Golden Horn won't have to do his own donkey work like he did in the Eclipse, and that'll all count to his success over. Going to make it a true stamina test to just test Glen Eagles to the limit stamina wise, aren't they?
Yeah, it's kind of flipped around a little bit, because it's normally Aidan O'Brien who puts a pacemaker in to make it a real test, and they're going to find out whether Glen Eagles. I'm worried about the trip for Glen Eagles. I think he's an out and out miler, and Golden Horn's an absolute mile and a quarter.
They'd have gone to Deauville if the ground had been suitable, but it isn't, so they're coming here. So fair play to them. Good, brave try.
Yeah,
but don't forget Dick Doughty Wiley. He's not just a sort of, he was Kingman's pacemaker.
Mm.
So he's
well versed.
He knows what to do.
Yeah. Mm. We've also got some good runners in behind there. It's going to be billed as a match. It probably will be a match, but time test is interesting.
Absolutely.
The Grey Gatsby is a good yardstick.
Absolutely.
It's a good race.
Yeah, and it's small but select field, isn't it? Some of the best horses, top 10 horses in the world, probably.
Yeah.
It's great to see them on the Knavesmire.
Yeah, we've got that to look forward to on the Wednesday. Moving on to Thursday, we've got the Yorkshire Oaks as well. I see Covert Love's been put in there, the Irish Oaks winner. She heads the market as well on the Anti Post betting at 7-2, ahead of Curvy and Jack Naylor, who finished behind her in the Irish Oaks. So that looks
They've forked out $35,000 and probably just lifted it out of the Irish Oaks prize money to do so. So it wasn't a big call for them, was it? And on form, she looks the one to beat.
Yeah, that should be a cracker as well. You've got Pleashak in there if she bounces back. Lady of Dubai, Crystal's Vader, who obviously was very good at the start of the season. It's another good race on the Knavesmire.
Yeah, it certainly is. And the ground should be perfect for her as well.
Mm-hmm.
She's also got an entry in the St. Ledger, which is interesting.
It is.
But there was a fillies race at Ascot on Champions Day, which would sort of take the gloss off the ledger probably for them against her own sex, especially if we went and won this, you know. You'd probably try and keep her, you know. But we'll see.
Depends if she bolts up in this, then you might think, oh, we've got a ledger type.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The Ebor as well, the meeting's namesake, that takes place on Saturday. 8-1 joint favourites with Clondor Warrior and Fields of Athen Rye, who both look pretty useful.
If you can get a special bet, the Irish, to win it, I'd be taking it.
Yeah, because they've got Clondor Warrior, Fields of Athen Rye, Quick Jack if he goes to the race.
They seem to have a very strong hand, and they do make a habit of winning the Ebor, don't they?
Yeah. Of the British contingent, though, Quest for More would be right up there.
Yeah, he's one of my favourite horses in training, Quest for More. Great to see him win the Northumberland Plate. Oh, I'd love to have seen him win the Goodwood Cup. He was so close, wasn't he? But he still ran his heart out. And he's still got a workable handicap mark. So, you know, fair play to them for having a crack with him.
Yeah. All to look forward to next week. It's going to be a fantastic...
And don't forget, we've got the Flying Nunthorpe to look forward to.
I haven't even mentioned the Nunthorpe, have we? Acapulco.
Yeah. And you found started a jockey out for a mark.
Yeah, Ortiz, I think, is going to ride.
Yeah, he's a very good rider. He's at the Saratoga meeting that's either just finished or it's about to finish. He's been firing winners in left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
So he's going to go there on the top of his game. I don't suppose he's been here before, but basically all he's got to do is get her down at the start, then point her in the right direction and bring her back.
Yeah, she's going to carry, I think it's 7 stone 12. Yeah. So you won't get many British jockeys able to do that anyway, would you?
No.
So. And we talk about pedigree of horses as well. He's got a good pedigree as a jockey. His grandfather was a jockey.
Mm.
His uncle was as well, I think. And he's been brought up from a young age just to be a jockey. So.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you can get a look back at some of his VTs of him riding around Saratoga in the last few weeks, you'll see why Wesley Ward snapped him up to ride Acapulco.
Mm. It's not just about Acapulco, though, Mick. There's plenty.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Got good old Soul Power in there as a dual non-fault winner.
And, yeah.
Plenty
of
others in with chances.
Absolutely, it's going to be a cracking race, isn't it? And you're talking such narrow margins, aren't you, over the flying five? Nothing, you can't afford anything to go wrong, can you? And Sol Power's performance when he nearly came from out the clouds, didn't he?
Yeah.
Still lives strong in the memory, doesn't it?
It was a breathtaking performance last year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no Hughes this year though. It's going to be Frankie to ride him, I think.
Yeah, well, not a bad deputy, is he?
Yeah. No better man for the big day, it seems, at the moment. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got all that to look forward to next week. Anything else in the news, Cotty Rymick, or should we get stuck into what's not a bad Sunday racing either?
Yeah, it's a pretty good Sunday. By the time we get this, we'll know the result of the Arlington Million. We've got a strong representation in that, haven't we? Back in the day, I remember when I was training up at Richmond, Bill Watts sent teleprompter over to win it. Tony Ives rode him. And the colours of Lord Derby, that was a great occasion. So it's always been a race that's always sort of felt a bit special when it came along. And I think that's Saturday evening.
Yeah.
Mm, so we'll see what happens there.
We will. But let's get stuck into Sunday. Mick's got three races for us at Pontefract and a good handicap chase at Southwold as well. So we'll move on to those on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, what we'll do is we'll spin through these in meeting order, if you like. So we'll go through the three races at Pontefract and then we'll move on to Southwell. So we start in the 2:45 at Pontefract, which is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds and older. Nice field of 11 here, Mick, and several ones next to the names of these. It's a good race.
Yeah, a couple of improving... three improving last time out, winning three-year-olds. And I think they're going to make life very tough for their elders... if the truth known. We'll start with Keep In Line, who was trained by Sidebin Sarrow for Godolphin, Kevin Stock taking off the three. He made his handicap debut after winning his Ripon Maiden in May at Royal Ascot. He just ran a bit dismally, really. Too badly to say that the mark was beyond him. But he did get back on track at Windsor last time. Which should have boosted his confidence, looked more like it at Windsor. And there's a lot more to come from this horse, and I don't think the mark of 89 is over harsh on him. But I think they're all going to have to go to beat Almodovar. George Baker, who was going to be riding in that Arlington Million that we spoke about earlier, jetting back to Ponty to ride Almodovar. George was in the saddle at Leicester. I don't know if you were working that day, Mark, when he won last time. He won with plenty in hand at Leicester. George just rode him with so much confidence. The handicap has put him up £6, but £6 wouldn't have stopped him at Leicester, and he looks to have plenty of improvement left in him. He's got the look of a potential pattern performer to me, Almodovar, so let's hope that he fulfils my expectations of him anyway, which a mark of 86 won't stop him if that's the case. And the other one to mention is the filly More Mischief, who's won three of her last four, was second in the other one. She's moving into Class 3 and into the 80s against some pretty smart rivals, but there's nothing wrong with her attitude, and she will be definitely suited by the track at Pontefract. It's her first visit, but she's got good form at places like Hamilton, etc., so Ponty will not faze her. As I said, The order of horses are steaming, heads the weights with 10 stone. The handicap has finally given him a chance. Moonrise Landing, the Rafe Beckett filly. I think she's crying out for a step back up in trip. And I think they're just going to struggle against the three-year-old, the best of whom is Almodovar.
Almodovar for Mick then in the 2.45. Moving on to the 3.45 next, which is the feature race at Pontefract on Sunday. It's the Flying Fillies Stakes, a listed race over 6 furlongs. Could be a good day for David Lonigan because he's got Interception here, Mick, who looks to have every chance.
Yeah, it's a really good race, this. Again, we've got quite a few sort of sexy ones here coming in on the back of good efforts. You mentioned Interception. That Wokingham win still lingers in the memory, doesn't it? Not so good at York last time, which was a slight concern. But I think the Lanigan team had a little blip around them, but they do seem to be back on track again. Now, whether that... She could have been in season or anything, couldn't she? But that leads me on nicely to Divine, who... Her last two runs have been her best, and with the stable in fine form now, she could turn out to be the best of the elders. I mean, she finished in front of Interception in that contest, and no real reason why Interception, unless there wasn't really a miss with her, should turn the tables. And well, Mick Shannon's banging in the winners, and they were her two career best performances, the last two runs from Divine. She's the best of the elders, but I do think they're all going to have to go to beat Byzantium, a rare Irish raider at Pontefract. Now, in Nace last time, this filly came within a head of beating a horse called Letters of Note, who was rated 99 and worth every pound of it as well. The third's a good horse as well, suggesting this filly... Well, the handicap has reacted. She's now 101. And a reproduction of that brings her right bang into it. I mean, she was only, I think she was rated 90 when she ran in that Nace race.
91.
And she very nearly beat a horse rated 99. So the handicapper has readjusted her. That's what she is. She's a 100 plus filly. And for me, that makes her very hard to beat. Queen's Pearl's on a roll, but she's going to find this a lot tougher. But she was very impressive last time. It's all about Byzantium for me.
Yeah, I was speaking to Andy Holding off air as well before we came into this. Obviously, he's got a lot of Irish speed figures.
Yeah,
he likes Byzantium as well.
So oh, that's encouraging.
On top of his numbers.
Yeah, it's encouraging.
Strong vote there then for Byzantium. Let's move on to the third race at Pontefract we're going to look at. This is the 4.20, and this one is a Class 3 handicap over a mile. This one's for the three-year-olds. Who's got your eye in there, Mick?
Yeah, again, we're coming in with one or two sexy horses coming in on the back of good efforts. Swift Emperor. He's won two of his three, one on his only two-year-old outing. Blobbed at, I think it was at York when he made his reappearance, and then he put that behind him with a really good effort at Haydock. Did get the run of the race, to be fair. Then he was away for 67 days. Now, I wouldn't worry too much about that because the 2 months off is no problem, as the stable had a very quiet time of it through June and July, but they are much better now, so that... you know, that's encouraging that he wasn't sort of running when the rest of them were running badly. So I just watch the market for any confidence behind Swift Emperor. There's definitely more to come. And he's certainly got races in him off his mark of 84. First Dream, his mark's gone from 50 to 82 already this year. And that's since February. And still going forward nicely. As good as ever, if not better than ever, at Epsom last time. But the mark is into the 80s now, and he's moving into Class 3 as well. So his life's going to get progressively tougher for First Dream. But I do like these horses who keep improving like he has all season. Puma Floor, trained by Richard Guest, who's banging form, had a double on Friday, and goes well here at Pontefract, and remains in good form. The mark of 74, not a problem. Now, the horses I've spoken about are going to take a big chunk out of the market. So, although we haven't got the dead eight, we've still got the seven. And I'm going to take a chance here on Spring Offensive from the Richard Fahey yard. This is a lot easier than the Glorious Goodwood handicap that he finished a close fifth in last time. He was given plenty to do, never really put in the race with a chance, but doing his best work through the final two furlongs of the race, suggesting this stiffer track at Pontefract's going to suit. And he's going to be a prize spring offensive with the first three that we spoke about going to take the chunks out the market. So I'll take a little left field step each way, 1-2 spring offensive in that 4.20.
Yeah, I like it. If you look at the last three races that he's running, they've all been
very solid. Yeah. Very solid. Better races than this, Mark.
Yeah. And Richard Farr, he's won three of the last four in Ulster.
Exactly,
boot,
so. Exactly. Yeah, and he's his only representative. I beg your pardon, look, he's got La Dorothea, but he just likes to target it. And I just think he might outrun his price, spring offensive.
I like it. Finally, we'll finish at Southwell in there, 3 o'clock. This one is a Class 2 handicap chase over 2.5 miles, a field of 12 here, Mick, and it's going to be one of the more open betting races on the day, a real cracker of a handicap.
It certainly is. Yeah, we've got plenty of coming into this in good form. The top weight, Alderbrook Lad, on a roll at the moment, but he's going to have to improve again. Although his rider, Finian O'Toole, is going to take off the 10. He's going to need every pound of that, I think, giving weight to some seriously progressive rivals here, the best of which might end up to be Grey Hessian, who's won on his only two starts for John Joe O'Neill since leaving John Cullen in Ireland. Still unexposed, this is only his fifth start over fences, and there's absolutely no problem with that absence of 93 days out. He's got plenty of form off similar breaks. He's got course winning form, and he looks like a horse with plenty more to come. So Grey Hessian's going to get the vote for me. The rivals, certainly the form rivals, look to be Ulis Devassi, trained by Dan Skelton. Harry takes the ride. He was beaten fair and square off this mark last time, but probably ran into one in the shape of a revitalised champion course. So no excuse for that. But it does leave him work to do with Moorland Jack, if you take that run literally, because Moorland Jack was out of the handicap by £5 that day, and he can race off effectively a £2 lower mark in this, and he could well turn out to be the biggest danger to Grey Hessian Moorland Jack. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if he confirmed, well, or turned the table around with Moorland Jack on these revised weights. I do think Grey Hessian will win, and I think Moorland Jack might be the one for the forecast.
Okay, good stuff. Let's, as always, Mick, have a quick summary, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Okay, three at Ponte Carlo. Almodovar was terribly impressive at Leicester last time. Looks like a horse with a big, big future. And I think he'll make George Baker's trip back across the Atlantic worthwhile in that 2:45 at Pontefract. We've got a rare Irish raider at Ponte for the 3:45, the fillies listed. That's Byzantium, trained by Edward Lynham, who knows his way with sprinters. Martin Harley taking the ride. Excellent run last time when she nearly beat a filly rated £9 higher than herself. And this looks a good opportunity for her to get a listed win under her belt. In the 4:20, I'm going to take a flyer here with the Spring Offensive, who ran a really solid fifth in a very hot handicap at Glorious Goodwood after getting in an impossible position in the first half of the race, but doing his best work in the second half of the race, suggesting that this track will suit. And in the 3 o'clock at Southwell, our jump in action on Super Sunday, I like the look of John Joe O'Neill's Grey Hessian track, bidding to make it 3 out of 3 since he joined John Joe from John Cullen in Ireland.
Superb. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy on Sunday.
Will do, Mark.
You could have called me John Boy then.
I nearly did, yeah.
Thanks, Mick. So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Sunday's action. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Sean Quinn, Rory Delaghi and James Millman will be the team in the studio. It's Pontefract and Southwell domestically. Two good cards to look forward to there. We've also got Dundalk and Tramore over in Ireland. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.